Let's get to the matter at hand. So we have a number of we went through the Shachar Atari until the issue of Shema Hashem, Kinui, and so on, but it is all interconnected. We will continue with the Gemara in just a minute. And before we do, a couple of Maharos that are some of the things that we're in the middle of. So again, we were talking about the status of Kinui and the relationship to Shemos, and of course the hierarchy of Shemos themselves, as we noted. Right, there is the shame of many letters. Again, we could say call it Torah Kula is Shemos of Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? So that's the biggest shame of all, the Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu one. But then, of course, is other Shemos, with many, many letters. We'll try to pin them down in terms of Shema Mefurash that was used in the Mikdash and Berkas Kohanim at a certain time. And then, of course, we have the more, conventional Shemos. And even then, there's a significant hierarchy. Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is, Kishem, Sheani Nichtav. And the very fact that the Kishem Sheani Nichtav is the Kishem Sheani Nichtav, of course, gives it special stature. We'll talk more about it. But Torah Shebichtav, which is the most, at least technically, intrinsic itself again is Shemos of Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it is the most divine thing that we have, in the world, basically. So for its, just making a ha'ara, for its written reference of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to be, a particular one, obviously gives it great stat. Just to have, oh, that's the one, Kishim Shem. Ani Nichta. If we say Lo Kishem Shani Nichta Ani Nikra, what we're saying is two things. Number one, that this is the Ksivas Hashem of Torah Shebichtav, given what Torah Shebichtav is, and for that very reason, it sounds like it's ineffable. You're not supposed to be, explicating it. So it had the very fact that it has a kriya, counterpart, if you will, or a kriya expression. Is something very, says something about its kedusha. I guess the inability even to pronounce it, without compromising or detracting, let's say, from its intrinsicness. But I think it also says something about the general idea of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, and the idea of ksiva ukriya, right? The fact that there is such a phenomenon of ksivo kriya. And it's in addition to showing, the added stature, let's say, of the shem hanichtav for the reasons that I just mentioned, also the yisod that the shem ha-meforash, let's say, or the most ubiquitous shem ha-meforash, is one which has a ksivo and a kriya counterpart, is, I think, something which is not a coincidence, but something which is very typifies, let's say, Torah's approach to the use of these various media, and what we mean by Torah Shebichtav, and again, I'm not talking about Torah Shebaalpeh. We're talking about the way that it's written, obviously, the way that it's pronounced. But that already is a movement towards that. In other words, the idea that that there are multi dimensions, to Torah Shebichtav, its ksiva and its kriya being different. Of course, this is part of a larger question about, kris and ksivs and other structural things like that in the way that, cheftza shel Torah Shebichtav is constructed. So that's an important hierarchy. We'll have to see what happens, with that. The shame, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, both the shame Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud become very much under a microscope, because of that, just this phenomenon itself and the stature of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then, the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud part, becomes really interesting, because is it really a shame b'fnei atzmo? Is it like on the one hand, its stature is elevated for being the kriya counterpart. On the other hand, does that make it somehow less intrinsic or more, relative? So that's an interesting thing. To what extent is Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud something which is independent also? And if so, where does it stand? Does it have, is it an intrinsic shame and more, or and different? Or is that even fully an intrinsic shame because it's the kriya counterpart of the ksiva of shema meforash? You could see all these three or more options just, you know, thinking about it. So how it is treated in different contexts, again, how each one of these is treated in different contexts, how they're treated together, whether they're treated as one, and so on. For example, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is or is not, you know, Shem, Sheino, Nimchak, separate on the list. That's an interesting question. And if, you know, already in the time of Avraham Avinu, you know, which is the beginning for us, right? So, you know, the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is the one, you know, which is more ambiguous in terms of being Kodesh or Chol, you know, for Avram and Lot. You know, is that also just a coincidence, or does it have to do, again, with this stature, especially according to what I was saying the other day, which is that in addition to the Machlokas about which one of these is Kodesh and Chol and so on, is there also like an intentional ambiguity by using the same phrase that can be both in both directions, having a certain significance, which obviously I'm suggesting because I really feel strongly that, that it may. So these are things to think about. Then, of course, on the other level, we'll discuss these in just a couple more minutes when we talk about the list of Shem, Shen, and Nimchakim, but the various, oh, let's say various, the variations, let's say, of Kel Elokim, Elokecha, Elokechem, you know, Elokeinu, all of those, also something that needs, you know, that at least should command our attention, right? Are those all the same, basically? Eloka, right? What's on the list? What's separate? What's not? These derivations, derivatives, you know, are they the same? Does the suffix in some cases, or, you know, which is associates with, you know, a group, or, you know, stands more independent. Kale, you know, is just a shorter form, or the fact that, you know, the word Aleph Lamed has a certain meaning of, you know, power more generally, you know, makes it, you know, kind of a lesser shame, or no. Elokim, having Midas Hadin status, you know, and again, being something that, you know, seems to have a certain independence. But then how does that also coordinate with Eloka, right? And as I said a second ago, Elokecha, Elokechem, Elokeinu. Specifically, does the identification of the Ribbono Shel Olam with individuals, with Klal Yisrael, let's say, as a nation, does that, you know, just an additional association, something extraneous? Again, that gets to the, a little bit to the, you know, prefix, suffix, mechika issue too, but even as shemos, let's say, or does the fact that, again, just similar to what I was saying about tzivakos, right, that, you know, maybe the Klal Yisrael connection is, one day in the Gemara is that takes away, detracts from Shev Hashem, and the other day is maybe, based on the Gemara in Brachos, I was suggesting this, that being, you know, Elokei Yisrael, is a din in, you know, in divinity, but it's a certain kind of divinity, you know. And atem asisuni chativa achas ba'olam. So when we say Elokecha, you know, which implies the idea of a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, a personal God, Hashgacha Pratis, if you will, that changes the way that you look at divinity. Basically, the famous comment of Rav Yehuda Levi, you know, he talks about, you know, the difference between, you know, the God of Abraham and the God of Aristotle, is that point, and the point has been made, you know, in recurring fashion, you know, many, many, many times. So the idea of saying Elokecha, or Elokechem, or Elokeinu, right, in just, you know, you could look at it as saying, well, it's Ribbono Shel Olam, it's divinity, it's God, you know, and, you know, in the particular context relating to things that connect with Klal Yisrael as a nation, you know, or a group as a unit or an individual, you know, as the case may be. That's the innocuous way of looking at all of this. And the more, I think, I guess, call it ambitious, a more exciting way to look at it, a more inspiring way to look at it, doesn't mean it's right, might be that that these are shiurim, again, in a different perspective, just as all shemos are supposed to be. Whether you take a philosophical, you know, Rambam-type view, or you take a Kabbalistic view, you know, of shemos Hashem being expressions of how, you know, his presence and, you know, manifest in the world, you know, different spheros, that kind of idea. Whatever it is, maybe the idea of Elokecha, Elokeinu, Elokechem, you know, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzavakos. Ilan suggested to me the other day that maybe part of the Tzavakos issue is related to, you know, to this question of suffixes, but not suffix of a word, but, you know, the association of Elokei Tzavakos, Hashem Tzavakos, you know, if they go always together, which I think is an interesting idea. So the idea of Klal Yisrael's Ribono Sholem, that what we mean, you know, is different than, you know, not only what Aristotle means, but other what other religions mean in terms of, you know, the understanding the force and the possibility of and the type of relationship with the divine being. So Hashgacha Pratis, Klal Yisrael, relating to a unit, are these shemos themselves. Elokim, Elokeinu, Elokecha, Eloka, Elokim. So we'll see in a moment just on some of the lists, the Gemara, Masachet Sofrim, the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, like what is the status of all these Kel Eloka, Elokim, Elokecha, Elokeinu, Elokechem? Are they derivatives or not? And then, of course, the idea a little bit behind Hoyahoveviyah, which is also Ekia Sherekia, you could say, if you want to say this, Shem Hashem, whether that's on the list and what that means. And that's, you know, again, the Psukim in Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is first identified and appointed, right, as the person who will be the greatest, intrinsically the greatest Navi of all time. So, again, whether that happens right away or not, we don't know. That's something we talked about last year, as I recall. Sfarno has a view on that. But, you know, the introduction when Moshe Rabbeinu asks for, you know, how he's supposed to identify Kodesh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, those psukim about in Shemos and Va'era, like, are really very, very suggestive. You know, Aleph Hey Yud Hey, you know, or doubled, right? Are those just, you know, again, expressions of, you know, how the geula will manifest itself, you know, in Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or is it like, you know, again, previously, you know, Va'era, beginning of Sukkim in Va'era, right? You know, Shmi Hashem lo nodati lahem, and, you know, I appeared as Shakai, right? The Mefarshim understand that these are different midos and different tchunos, and, you know, a different really concept that are added. So Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership is associated, you know, with introducing new shemos, a new concept of nevuah too. Nevuah is shlichus to Klal Yisrael, something we talked about, something that the Marvuchim notes. But so again, is that qualify as a shame? Is that more just about, you know, time and you know, the idea of timelessness when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So these are all things that need to be looked at in all these different contexts when we make distinctions in terms of, you know, Megadev, the Shema Mavarech V'Amisparech, in terms of Shemos Nimchakim, what's on the list, what isn't on the list, and what's where the din applies, even if it's not on the list. Birchas Kohanim, Hashtach Abaya in the Mikdash, Killas, you know, Horim and Killas Chabero and Killas Atzmo. All these things are really things that we have to examine, you know, in this light. So that's really what we're trying to do. Just we're going to try to do it as quickly as we can. And we also discussed very quickly Tzavakos and Shlomo, and talk about Shalom in a couple of minutes as well, because that's connected to it too. Okay, so before we continue with the Gemara, I just want to you know, fill in some of these things a little bit more that we've been doing already. Firstly, another hara that Ilan brought to my attention, which I had mentioned, but not, I think, clearly enough, and he added to it also. in addition, we talked about, you know, what, in general, when it comes to Shavua, like Shavuos Eidos, Shavuos Mikadon, Shavuos Bitui, Shavuos Shav, you know, what you require, we'll get back to that, just to pin down the actual Shitos, as we did earlier in the year. Why would you need Shem Hashem? What would Shem Hashem, let's say, you know, add, you know, to the mix? But especially Shem Hashem, but a little bit also the language of Shavua, the language of Allah, Klala, etc. So I mentioned three, broadly speaking, perspectives. Right? One is that it, you know, neutralizes any consideration that we're dealing with casual language, you know, which people, you know, maybe shouldn't, you know, be imprecise or shouldn't be loose in their honesty, you know, but it's perfectly clear that if you invoke Shem Hashem, that, you know, that you're speaking in a more formal way, or that we're dealing with specific institutions of Shvuos or Nedarim or Klalos, which have a certain power and therefore a certain definition, and that's, it's just not the question, not only the question of being held to a preciser, a more precise standard, but it really is like invoking those institutions and what's mechudash in them. Or a third possibility, and that is that the Shem Hashem itself, or Chilul Shemo, or Zilzul Shemo, or the stature associated with the Shem, sometimes in the constructive side of it, Shem Hashem itself, you know, is part of the Mechayev and part of the Hagdara of some of these institutions. And of course, if we talk about different contexts, we might be mechalik in these three perspectives.
Why do I need a special pasuk for Shavua? This is the Shem Hashem, all the people of Shav. This should be the
Say that again. What do you need?
Why do I need a special chiyuv for Shavua? If you're really violating the Sisa Hashem, you can't have a Shav. You're saying that it has to do with the Shem Hashem itself.
I mean, why do you need to? You don't need necessarily.
Saying,
well, we're talking about, there are two different issues.
You're saying the reason why you need a Shem Hashem is because...
I'm talking about the reason why you might need a Shem Hashem in the context of Shua.
I'm saying, the answer is because
you're
over
the
Zilzul Shem
Hashem. Right.
Why don't you need this Parsha Shua? Because the reason is that
it
has to do with the fact that you're just violating
the Zilzul, you're saying the Shem Hashem. Right, but in order to... Zilzul Shem Hashem Lachal Hashav, and violating Shav is one, but that's a trigger, for example, like the Yiv Karban, right, or other consequences. So we're trying to figure out what role does Shem Hashem apply. I mean, I think the question is parallel in other things too, but at the moment I'm talking about the role of Shem Hashem in the context of Shavuos in particular, and why it is that they might be Koveya Legabe Bal Yachel, Lo Yachel Devaro, why they might be Koveya Legabe Malkus, why they might be Koveya Legabe Karban.
It's possible to get Karban and Malkus at the same time of being over.
We'll talk about that too, but let's say one or the other, right? You know, especially, well, I mean, we'll discuss. I mean, that's Machlokas HaRishonim, whether or not, you know, with regard to Korban. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, like a, you know, just use of Shem Hashem in vain at the moment. Anyway, so Ilan just added to the mix something which I, what I also said was that in a certain sense, by injecting Shem Hashem in a certain context, right, you also, in a way, raise the stakes for what it is that you're saying. In a certain sense, by invoking Shem Hashem, you're saying that the veracity or the commitment that you're making to, you know, to the truth of what you're declaring, right, is something which reflects your commitment, you know, to Shem Hashem or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what he was adding is that you don't need to go that far, I think, and I think he's right, and that is that maybe at minimum what you could say is that the injection of Shem Hashem, let's say particularly in something like a Shavua, establishes unequivocally that this truth or falsehood isn't just Ben Adam Lechaveiro, right, but it's also Ben Adam Lamakom. Something which might seem obvious to us, but isn't obvious, you know, to people who are tempted, you know, for financial or other reasons, you know, to lie in a court. They rationalize to themselves, you know, that they're lying to their friend. Lo sashakru ish, you know, bamiso, which is the pasuk that we, you know, that applies to Shavuos HaPikadon, for example, which we talked about earlier. We're talking about whether or not that pasuk is the sheker pasuk, you know, and therefore you don't need lo sishbu b'shmi la shaker in Shavuos HaPikadon, or it's really quite different because it's lo sishbu b'shmi, you know, it's really lo sashakru rather ish bamiso, right? Implies, you know, that there's a very strong, you know, personal focus, interpersonal focus at that. So I think that I would just add that Shem Hashem's injection in the context of Shavuos, whether it be Shavuos Bitui, but especially in Shavuos HaPikadon and Shavuos HaEdos, elevate, as I say, or accentuate the Ben Adam LaMokom part in addition. That's one. I stand by what I said before. I think it also implies that you're kind of staking your religious commitment by your personal honesty, you know, in this Ben Adam LeChavero, you know, interaction. That's a different point, or that's an additional point, but I think that that is happening as well. Thirdly, and I think this is very important as well, is that we say Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS. It is something else that we take very seriously. And therefore, to lie in the context of using Shem Hashem is something which is, I think, you know, particularly, you know, egregious, because you're not only violating that mida or shame, but you're doing it right with Shem Hashem. Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS. And you know, you're using his name, you know, to do the opposite. And in that respect, just to take it even a step further, it's almost like you're using Shem Hashem, you know, or you're exploiting what appears to be your religiosity and your respect for Shem Hashem, right? To and that's in a way being used to promote averos. Okay, it's not exactly like, but it is like a little bit of a parallel to, you know, kind of like an echta v'ashuv, like, you know, using tshuva. I've commented in the past that, you know, using tshuva or Yom Kippur as a means, let's say, of further, you know, sin, you know, rather than, you know, celebrating it as a, you know, special, you know, gift and opportunity, you know, to defy, you know, natural law and to do tshuva and to negate sin, you know, is particularly, like, cynical. So the same thing, I think, is true here, that in addition to the other points that we make, the injection of Shem Hashem into the process, you know, is basically, you're using Shem Hashem, basically, to, you know, to do an Aveira, right, or to make more effective the Aveira, you know, which, and obviously that's the opposite effect, you know, that Shem Hashem, you know, which would cause you to tremble, kol olam nizdazeya, you know, that kind of response, which Chazal describe, you know, with Shavua, kol olam nizdazeya, when you use Shem Hashem in the context of a Shavua. So I think these elements, ben adam lamakom, I say staking your level of commitment and your connection with the Rabbanu Shalom on what you're doing here, which is the second point, the idea of chosamo, MS, and this idea of cynicism or exploitation to the opposite end is also an added element in the mix. Okay, so we'll get to suffixes in a minute. Getting back to the question of Chanun and Rachum and so on, so we talked about the relationship between Chanun and Rachum and you know, Hagadol Hagibor Nahanora, you know, on the one side, and Shamayim Ba'aretz on the other. And we also talked about Melech Malchaya and HaMelech HaKadosh, right, and Shlomo. We'll talk about Shalom in just a minute, because that's also part of the same discussion. Whether there's something, you know, in between, something which is a kinu. There are two types of kinuyim, maybe a kinu which is also in a nimchak, or not. One of the things I was trying to suggest was that in general there might be a debate depending on how you read our Gemara, the Habam read of our Gemara, then the exchange between Abai and Rav on the Gemara, and then the Maskana of the Gemara, whether Kinuyim in the end of the day are a diluted shame, because we acknowledge that they also apply to other things, right? Or, they're not a shame at all. They're just references, unequivocal references in their context to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, but they don't really have the status of a shame at all. And I say this Shaka Vitarya in our Gemara is certainly very relevant to that. And one of the things we were suggesting was that maybe the Nafkamina might be, like if you say, Borei Shamayim Ba'aretz, does that qualify? Or even if it does, maybe it would only qualify, if you really build up what Shamayim Ba'aretz theologically and philosophically and religiously imply. So we noted already the position of the Meiri, and then we noted the Nemuke Yosef, and actually it's also the view of the Riaz, if you say Misha Bara Shemayim Ba'aretz, that would qualify. And I was suggesting that Rishonim might disagree, and in particular Rambam. We didn't get to the details, so I want to get to that for a minute. Before we do that, does anybody have a language of the Nemuke Yosef? Because I thought that was particularly strong. You have it? Alex, you have it? I thought that the language of the Nemuke Yosef was particularly strong, that Kinuyim in general do not have the status of Shem Hashem. But that they are references or to you. You have it?
Yeah.
Nathan, go ahead.
Yeah.
Zichron
Shvach.
Yeah. So I think this Mukha Yosef, much more so even than Amiri, says clearly, the idea that Misha Bara is going to work is fine. But we shouldn't be, what I'm adding is, number one, the formulation is clearer, or is clear, that he holds that Kinuyim are not shamos.
Also, the Rimi Dash has like a very similar option for
us. Yeah?
Yeah, he says, Al-Mahani love shamos minu, Zifron shechavu, God is kibaso, ve'ino shame ha'am.
Oh, okay, very good. So these are the shonos that seem to say that Kinuyim are references, and they're shivachim. Even then, apparently, there's a hierarchy, and that's important to know. As well. And then again, the Ramban's idea that Shlomo might be a kinui, which is a shame, and that's what distinguishes it, becomes something that is important. But if you compare that to the Rambam, what do you have lying to the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos? And this is something that the Lechem Mishnah already noted, right in Perek Beis. That's a Perek. That was later on, but the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Echad nishba sheshbia acher b'shem amyuchad o be'echad b'makinuyim, kigon shenishba b'misha shmo chanan b'misha shmo rachum, b'misha shmo erech apayim ukiyotze b'hem. By the way, erech apayim is added to the list. B'chol lashon harezu shvua gemura. Okay, so. Yeah. So what's fascinating about the Rambam is, and the Lechem Mishnah already notes this, is that unlike the other Rishonim, who assumed that basically the Chanan Barachum doesn't require you to say B'misha Shmo Chanan, B'misha Shmo Rachum, right? Because if you were to say B'misha Shmo or B'mi, and then add the rest, if you were to say that about Bari Shemayim Ba'aretz, that would work fine as well.
That's right? But there are a lot of people that are Racham HaKam. Why do we say only one person is Racham HaKam? I don't understand what that means. Racham HaKam could be a lot of people. Why?
You're asking a question on the Gemara? Abaya? Rava? Have you been keeping up?
Yes.
Okay. So we talked about it already, right? We talked about the idea that maybe Chanan and Rachum, right, are not just, you know, adjectives, but there are adjectives that are only possible, either that on a certain level or what we, the fullness of what we mean by it, or even the potential itself for man to be selfless enough to be Chanun and Rachum, right, can only come from the fact that there's a paradigm, Platonic model of Chanun and Rachum, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what we're saying. So, but basically what the Rambam says is, Kegon Shenishba B'mi Sheshmo Chanun B'mi Sheshmo Rachum. He doesn't say, Hochi Kamar. He doesn't say that if you're Nishba B'Chanun U'Barachum, what you mean is B'mi, as opposed to B'Shamayim B'Aretz, where we don't know what you mean. What he says is, if you're Nishba, Kegon Shenishba B'mi Sheshmo Chanun B'mi Sheshmo Rachum. So the implication is that if you were to be Nishba, the Misha Bara Shemayim Ba'aretz, and it wouldn't work. Right? So, the Lecha Mishnah, again, says part of this, doesn't say all of it. You have a line there, Isaac?
I don't think that's an implication from the Rambam.
What?
I don't think that's an implication from the Rambam.
What?
That Misha Shemayim Ba'aretz wouldn't work.
Well, put it this way, he definitely thinks that...
it makes sense to quote Misha Shemayim Ba'aretz, because...
I mean, you have to say the words.
Even if you mean
the Misha, you have to be. He says Kegon Shenishba.
Even if Chanan and Rachum work, the reason why the Rambam quotes the case of Misha and Chanan and Misha and Rachum is because the only reason Chanan and Rachum work is because it says if you said Misha.
But he doesn't say that. I'm saying what's different about the Rambam is that he.
Gemara says the reason why Chanan and Rachum would work is because it says if you said it.
No, it's right, but there are two ways to read the Gemara. One is that if you say the. Again, there are two ways to read the Gemara. One is that you say Chanan and Rachum. And in the other case, you say Shemayim Ba'aretz. And then the question is, what do we mean by that? Right? And that's how the other, that's certainly how the Meir and the Mukhe Yosef and the Riaz are reading the Gemara. And that's where they're saying, however, if you want to overcompensate and make it clearer by saying actually the words B'bisha Asa, it's not just going to be Achikamar, then that's going to be great. That's going to be fine. However, the Rambam doesn't say, the Chiddush of the Rambam is that he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that if you say, you know, Am Nishba B'chanun V'rachum, that it's it's Ki'ilu Amar. He says, when you are Nishba, you need to be Nishba b'shem ha-miyuchad ha-bechad ha-mikakiduyim, kagon she-Nishba b'mishishmo rachum, u b'mishishmo chanun, u b'mishishmo erachapayim. So it sounds like if you were to be Nishba b'mishabar shemayim, it sounds like, again, he doesn't say those words, but it sounds like...
I don't even think it sounds like you think that it wouldn't work if you said Nishba b'rachum.
I mean, so why does it say Kagon Shenishba B'Misha Shmo?
Because that's certainly the case that works. That's the keynote. I think Mar says works.
Right, but if it's true that being Nishba B'Chanun U'Barachum would also work, that's certainly a much bigger chiddush.
Yeah, Rav doesn't need to tell you every bit. She's just telling you what the case is.
It's not every set. I mean, this is exactly... I mean, according to the other Rishonim, that would work.
I'm suggesting that it could work for the Rambam, too. It's just the reason why he doesn't give that case.
I'm just saying that... All I'm saying is that... The Rambam, by saying Kagon, is saying something different than the other Rishonim, who are clearly interpreting the Gemara that it's not Kagon. Okay, that's a fact. You could say it's an irrelevant fact because there's no difference between the cases. But it does sound like we know there can be a difference in the cases because the other Rishonim, by interpreting Chanan Barachum and not the Misha Shmo Chanan Barachum, leave open the possibility of saying B'mishu Bar Shemayim Ba'aretz. All I'm saying is that the Rambam does not. You could say he didn't it's Lav Dafka. Now again, if you look at the Rambam later on, where is it? Perek Yud Beis Halacha Gimel, where he does speak about Shemayim Ba'aretz, I don't know 100% whether or not this Diuk is correct. Lamaisa, but because Yud Beis Gimel, Misha Nishba B'Shemayim U'Ba'aretz, Ubashemesh, right? The Kayotze Bahen, Afapish, Ain Kavanatsa El Misha Baraam, Ain Zushua. The Chena Nishba Benavi Menanavim, Abixav Mikisvea Kodesh, the tricky Rambam. Afapish Ain Kavanatsa El Misha Shalach Nabi Zer, El Misha Tziva Bixav Zer, Ain Zushua. Afapish Ain Lashulis Maimen Aleim, Umlam the Mesav Shalaynag Kalos Rosh, Umarim Beinem Shazushua Postlem Pesach, Umatirin Lahem. Right, and so on.
The other way around, too, that he says Racham Chanun, and he doesn't mean that for the Baruch Hu, that it would not be good.
That's what I'm suggesting. For the Rambam, I'm suggesting. But what I'm saying is, the Rambam here, there's a little bit of a conundrum. And that is, if you ask me, okay, you're totally entitled to disagree. But if you compare the Rambam and the Book of Yosef, right? In my opinion, if you just have Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, you would think that Chanun Barachum, if you're Nishba B'Chanun Barachum, and not B'Misha Shmo Chanun Barachum, then that would not work. And, Wes, one second. Which means that if for Chanun Barachum to have an edge on Shemayim Ba'aretz, according to the Rambam, that's in a case where you say B'mi. And the implication, therefore, is that if you said B'mi, in the case of Shemayim Ba'aretz, that wouldn't work. Why should that be if it's unequivocal? For the reason that I'm trying to explain. However, I do admit that Yud Beis Gimel, where the Rambam says Misha Nishba B'Shemayim Ba'aretz, B'Shemesh, right, there it implies that if you said B'Misha Baruch Shemayim Ba'aretz, it might be fine, because Rambam here says, according to me, what he means here is, even if you were to say, if you were Nishma B'Shemayim Ba'aretz B'Shemesh, in the same way that in, you know, 10 prakim earlier, I explained Chanun Barachum, namely, you said, B'Mishahu, right? It wouldn't help you here, because even though that's what you're saying and that's what you're meaning, it's still not a kinyan. I think that this might be connected to the fact that the Rambam also holds, and we'll discuss this more fully in a couple of minutes, that you do need Shem Hashem in a Shua, right? And that that is satisfied through Kinu. Right? Just to make it clear, the Ran, when he explains the Ran here in Shavuos, you know, talks about you do need a Shem Hashem, you don't need Shem Hashem. So he says, he's trying to explain Shitas Rashi. He says, according to Rashi on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, right, on the right after the Mishnah, we should have mentioned, I think we did mention it, right? Osar Chamani B'Shua, Rashi says, Maskir is Hashem, Be'echad Mikol HaLashonas Halom. Right. So the Ran says, it seems like Rashi holds, and then later on he says the same thing for the Rambam, and we know this is the Pshat of the Rambam. Right, in Perek Tes, and earlier in Perek Beis, Sukh Shavuos, right, the Rambam and Rashi both seem to be of the opinion that you need not only Lashon Shvua, but you also need Shem Hashem. So the Ran says at one point, you know, in the end of the day, you know, if Rashi thinks, why does Rashi think you need Shem Hashem? Because the Psukim, they say, Lo Sishvu B'Shmi, Lo Shaker, and Lo Sisa, right? Shem Hashem Alokecha, Lashav. So that's part of the Hagdara. A shame is part of the Hagdara of a Shua. And, you know, the Rebbe Gash actually happens to have a similar language. So then the Ran says, okay, but if that is the case, then wouldn't you think that you would also need Shem HaMeforash? Right? Because that's what it sounds like in the Pasuk of, you know, Shem Hashem Lashav, and so on. This is the line of the Ran here. Quotes Rashi. And he says, one second. Pirsh Rashi quotes it. Well, the Peir Zed Nirashu Savid de Bekulu Shvua Beinan Shemo Kinui. The Lake of the Maimar Dapka Shvua. So Eidos, we'll get to that. Okay, get to that. Betam and the Milsa Mishum the Ikar Shvua Kiksiva B'Shem Ksiv K'Desiv Lo Sishmu B'Shmila Shaker Inami Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Alokecha Elad Rabbanon Sabri Duha Din Nami Lekinui K'Desiv V'Chilalta Shem Hashem Alokecha Abba Below Shem U'Below Kinui Ein Lanu L'Malkus Lo Korban. He's disturbed why there would be even Isura. That he ends up saying is a kind of a Divrei Kabbalah. We'll get back to that. The Tamani, Kima dekroy b'shvua b'shem or b'kinui mishtamai, below shem or below kinui, afili suri minala, number one. Right? The efshar mi Divrei Kabbalah lemadnu. Okay. And then he says, one second, I'm not finding it here. One second. At one point he says, so why don't you need Shem HaMiyuchad? Do you have that line anywhere? Yeah. So he says, because it says v'chilalta Hashem Hashem Elokecha, right, and that applies even for kinui.
21st quotes the Makar from the pasuk.
Okay. So the point I'm trying to make is that do the Rishonim, let me say it this way. The Rishonim who think that you don't really require shame b'shvua per se, or if you do, it's, you know, something very limited or specific. Only mipiacherim, only shvua sa'edus, only shvua sa'edus and shvua sa'pikadon, things of that sort. The different shitas that we're aware of, which we're going to summarize in a couple of minutes. For them, you know, part of their discussion is, well, I mean, Rabbi Chanina, right, in the sugya that we haven't read yet, you know, connect shvuas ha'edus to sota, and in sota you need shem Hashem, right? So you see that shvuas ha'edus really requires, you know, shem Hashem. So the answer of the Ran, both in Nedarim and in Shavuos, to that question is, Alex. Avram? We don't pass the Rav Chanina bar Idi. Rav Chanina bar Idi thinks that you need Inachanami. He thinks you learn from Sota. Shuas Edus is Sota, and therefore you need Shem Hashem. You need Shem HaMeforash. But once you think that even Kinuyim work, namely we don't pass in that way, because the Gemara starts off, the Gemara says, how can Kinuyim work? And Lisha says that Kinuyim work. How can they work when they're not from Sota? Right? Says the Gemara, you're right. We're like the Rabbana, not Rabbi Chanina. So the way the Ramban and the Ran in the Darim and here understood that is the Gemara took a total 180-degree turn. Right? The Gemara said, basically, we don't learn anything from Sota to Shuas Eidus. Even Shuas Eidus doesn't require Shem Hashem. Okay? But the Rambam and Rashi apparently didn't learn that way. But they knew that we don't pass like Rav Chanina bar Kanina bar Idi. Right? So, again, the Ran asks this question particularly against the Raibid. Right? The Raibid says that what, Alex? That you need Shem Hashem. You don't need Shem Hashem for Bitui. You don't need Shem Hashem for Shav. But you need it for Shuasai, Shuasai, Pikadon. You need it for Malkus, right? Even in Bitui. Right? Says the Ran, the Edus and Pikadon part, where do you get that from? Right? From Sota. The Rav says you learn to get it from Sota, and then you get Shuasa Pikadon, you know, in play because of Techta. Techta. Right? Says the Ran, that's actually the line I was reading before. He says, I don't get it. We don't paskin that way. Because we don't paskin like Rabbi Chanina, so there's no limud. Then came the Gzer Shavu da Ola, Rabbi Chanina bar Chanina bar Idi who di Islei Hachi, of Rabbanan Lamali, right? Rabbanan Leislei. Right? Vacherim Sovrim. This is his view. The Rabbanan kivin the Leislei Gzer Shavu da Ola lo Bosh which was bitu lo Bishar Shvuos lo Shem velo Kinui. Bain less or bain lekarbon, bain lemalkus. Masis and tregav nishuos ktani. Mitzavani aleichem b'shua filo below askaris Hashem chayev. Chayin il lomar b'shua lomar mitzave b'shem b'kino chayavim b'chinedim b'kol hashavuos. In Adarim, the Ran is even more explicit about it. He says you're right. I mean, the big problem, or one of the biggest rayas that Shem Hashem is required in Shavuos, is Rab Chanina bar Idi Gemara here in Shavuos. Regarding Shuas Ha'edus. Right? And that's why Ben Utham thinks it's limited to Shuas Ha'edus. Right? And the Raivet thinks Shuas Ha'edus and Shuas Ha'pikadah. But the Ram says, I think the whole thing is wrong. Because once we turn our back on Rab Chanina Bar Ili and we don't need Shema Mefurash, so you don't need anything. Oh. So the Aruch HaShulchan, among others, I have to see this recently, in Hilchos Nedarim, Yardeya, he says, I mean, again, you don't need the, I don't think you need the Aruch HaShulchan to say this, but it's good that he says it, that, you know, what will the Rambam and Rashi say to all this? As they'll say, that, you know, we don't really completely turn our back on the connection to Sota. We don't think that we learned from Sota that you need Shema Mefurash. You can get away with a Kinui. But that's, there's still, according to the Ravid, you know, specifically for Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos Pikado. According to Rabbeinu Tam, right, for Shavuos Eidos Mipi Acherin, right, according to the Rambam and Rashi, for all the Shavuos, what we're saying is that you don't need Shema Mefurash, but you do need, at minimum, a Kinui. But it's, one second, but if that's still derived in part from, to answer the Ran's question, from some connection to Sota, so are we then also saying, in some way, that a Kinui, right, is, albeit a lesser shame, maybe it's not an intrinsic shame, but contextually, it's a shame. So I think that would work very well with the Rambam. Anyway, I'm not sure if the Rambam has to say this, but I'm just pointing out two, now getting back to the Rambam about the difference between Shemayim Ba'aretz and Chanan Barachum, having a higher standard in your Kinui and thinking that Kinui, right, is still an expression of Shem Hashem, they don't have to go together, but they fit together. Now, before we just continue, just again, I think Lechem Mishnah does point out, you know, that the Rambam is reading the Gemara differently in terms of the Kagon, although he's not happy with it and he's uncomfortable with it. But Isaac did tell me before the Shir that that Ariel,
he's
Ariel
there? He's hiding in the back over there.
Oh, he's over there now. Because he probably knew that I was going to mention him. And Tznius is such that he might, found that the Maestro Kaf does say this or not? Or he says it even more strongly, you said? I haven't seen. I was just told that he says this. But
I saw it in the,
where'd you see it?
In the back.
Oh, okay. I mean, you're not, you don't want to, unlike Moshe, you don't want to be responsible for all the Maestro Kafs. I got it. My answer to that question is, because if a kinui really is a contextual shame, but a shame nonetheless, right? Then the factual ambiguity that you're referring to, Rabbeinu Shalom, may not be enough. Okay, what's his answer?
So he's saying that when you say black on the Chanan, that's a kinui, unlike Shema and Aretz, which is because there's an open possibility of being something else.
Okay.
He said, when you say Misha Shemayim Shalom, so he has a lesson that it's Maskir Shem Shemayim Mishalom.
It's what?
Maskir Shem Shemayim Mishalom.
Why? Like he's Mizalzel Shem Shemayim Mishalom?
Maskir.
Oh, Maskir. Okay.
And he says, unlike Shemayim Aretz, because even if you say.
Oh, here you're Maskir Shem Shemayim Mishalom, but that's not enough.
No, he's saying that's
enough. Oh, you want to say that it works?
Yeah.
I thought you told me it didn't work.
No, no. He's saying for Chanan and Rachum, that is Shem Shemayim, as opposed to Shemayim Barat, which is not Shem Shemayim.
Oh, so this is what I'm saying.
Because he says Misha Shemo Chanan and Rachum, that's Masker Shem Shemayim. You say Misha Mayim Shara Salo, you're not confessing anything about Shem.
Misha Barat Shemayim Barat.
It's nothing about Shem. Misha Shemo Chanan and
Rachum. Ah, so is that the Shemo part, or the fact that the...
Oh, he's he thinks that the, I think he's saying that when I say Chanan alone, and it's just a kinoi, that's not sufficient, but when I phrase it as Misha Hurachon, that's more being Masker Shem Shemayim.
Okay, right, but...
Misha Shema.
But is that because it's more of a shame and bara is more of an action? Or is it because... So I would just add, I like, that's fine, but again, it's like kind of what I was saying, you know, to Ellie the other day about a different point, and that is that I think that that's because of what we were saying. In other words, for a kinui to be a kinui, if it's not just a reference, then it has to be something where the tchuna, the mida, if you will, or the action, as the case may be, right, isn't something that just happened to be done by in an extraneous way, but that's only in theory could be associated with and really radiates from and stems from as a category and a concept from a divine source. Now, if you think, I don't think necessarily that, you know, you have to formulate it the way that you're formulating, meaning that it's between action and a shame, but if you insist on that, I would just say that that itself is a reflection of this.
How do you turn Shemayim and Aris into a shame?
What? It's not. No. I'm just saying, my point is that for the Meiri and for the Mukha Yosef and for the Riaz and for them, Bepashtus, when you say Asher Bara Shemayim v'aretz, you've taken the equivocation out of it. We know what you're referring to, and that's all we need in a kinui. End of story. I was adding, because I'm a bit of a, I don't know, I'm looking for trouble a little bit. I was saying, another way to explain the shita of Asher Bara Shemayim v'aretz being a proper shame would be if you think that Bria Shemayim v'aretz is just something that Baruch Shalom did, but it's something that, because of its scope, because of the combination, you know, because of what symbolically it represents, as I'm just repeating what I said 2 days ago, right? It's something only he could have done, and therefore it's a reflection of his divinity, not just an unequivocal reflection of his, you know, identity. Okay? But I don't think that the Meiri, Nebuka Yosef, and Riaz think that. I'm saying, I think that that would be another way to come to that same conclusion, even if you had the standard of it being a chetza shel shem, or a tchuna that is intrinsic, or paradigmatic, or you know radiating from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So what I'm saying now is, or that's a good reason to say that even if you've taken a care, even if you've neutralized the equivocation, the ambiguity. Or that's never enough because you need a kind of a shame. So, you know, say, historically, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the person who saved Noach from the Mabel. Unless you think that too is, you know, a divine, an intrinsically divine thing. You know, the identity of, you know, where Kriyas Yamsuf came from. But you have to, you know, find things that are just more happenstance. They're not intrinsic. Maybe only the Ribbono Shel Olam could do it, but maybe they don't reflect as a midah. Then it's not a shame. Because I like the diuk of shame, but I'm just explaining that it's not a technical point. Here it's called b'misha shmo rachum, as opposed to shmo is not borei shamayim v'aretz. It's that the reason that shmo is rachum is because these values really, these are the yud gimel midos that could come only from or in their fullness of meaning, right, could only come from and radiate out of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay. Either way, it sounds like the conclusion, at least, of the Ma'aser Okeach in the Rambam is similar to what I'm saying. And maybe he's also suggesting that it doesn't really matter to me so much one way or another, but I'm glad at least they say it. I'm only pointing out, does he mention the other Rambam?
On the other Rambam, he counts and says the opposite.
In what?
In your days, he says it's mashma from that realm. He doesn't mention this realm. He just says there that
the Baruch Shemayim would work.
It's mashma that it would work.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I wasn't aware of it, but that, to me, it bothered me always. In other words, I think that it is that's a good indication at minimum, or that's a reinforcement at least that these two Rambams sound different. I think they do sound different.
He thinks the machlokes between Abaye and Rava is whether. explicating Misha Shnor, or you're just saying...
Yeah, so Isaac mentioned that to me also. Right. I'm not sure whether I think that that is... I don't think you need to say that necessarily either. But, okay. Either way, just to sum up, I'm suggesting, you know, taking the Lecha Mishnah much further, I guess parallel to the Ma'aser Rokeach, maybe not exactly the Ma'aser Rokeach, that the Rambam Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, whether we have the actual conclusion of Shemai Bar, is taking a different perspective on Chanun Barachum, one closer to what I was suggesting. I'm also suggesting that those Rishonim who think that you need Shein B'Shvua, who still think that there is some sort of a connection to Sota, in general, who think that Kinui, you know, solves a problem that is more than a reference, may hold against the language of the Rimigash, thank you, and the Nebuka Yosef, that Kinuyim are not just Shvachim, but that in context they have a status of Shein. Even if that is not true, that is certainly the case, you know, for the Ramban's suggestion about Shlomo, which, by the way, is not only the Ramban, it's also a idea that is quoted in the Tshuvas HaRosh, which we'll talk about in just a second, or in the Matzliach. It's also quoted, again, in the Kuntres HaRayos of the Riyaz, that idea. We also find, just give me one more second, I'll just speak about Shalom for a minute, that a similar discussion about the shame, about the name of Shalom, about the word Shalom. Again, Tosas and Sota, on Daf Yudam and Aleph, right, suggest that the word, that the name Shalom, you know, should also be on the list of Nimchakim. Anybody have a Sota? Yeah, you actually have a Sota, because I have Nedarim. Right. So Tosas here, on Daf Yud, I'm just trying to show that in addition to the question of how we look at Kinuyim, right, there could be a category in between. Right, there could be the sugi here talks about you know, the Chiyas Hashem, you know, in the context of the process of Sota and what that means. The Tos says, Tema l'Rebbe, Ma'ishna Mishalom, Yomar per kamad Shabbos, Yomar av Hamnuna, Bishmei de'ula, Asa la'adam shi'itein shalom l'chaver v'beis ha'merchatz, Bishum l'shem gufa ikri shalom, K'detziv v'yikra lo Hashem shalom, V'lo kakashar le'besachat sofrim, V'had ishem v'shenin l'mchakim. Says Tosas Venira, the ton of Ashir, the Adif Michanun Varachum, the Omer Perk Shwus Aedos, the Nimchak, Lo Ashkan Shakara Kodesh Barkus Shemo Kach Kanun, the Hakaparach, the Hodakamar al Shemo, Shala Kodesh Barku Nikra, Mashma the Shemo Nikra Kach, Behindu the Kadachi, Elim Ein Shemo, Kamo Kanun, Al Shem Shu Kanun, Umarachim al Briosa. This is an important Tosas for downgrading Chanun Barachim a little bit, not as a shame, but as a tchuna, as a sheva, let's say, and upgrading, you know, Shalom. Sorry? Okay, but he says that there's an Isumachika. Right, he doesn't think necessarily that it has, maybe you understand that, but he thinks there's an Isumachika for Shalom, and that it should have been on the list, but it's Tana Bashir. I mean, he is a little bit. Oh, you're saying it's me'ein shemo, but that's a downgrading from saying that it's a shame. Right? Yeah. All I'm saying is the Tosas here has a hierarchy in which Shalom, right, is more than Chanavrach. Okay, take it any way you will. Sounds like he's working to explain that Chanavrachim isn't really a shame, it's more of a Shabbat. Right? That's what he says. It's a mein shame. And he's saying that Shalom is a real shame. What's the raya? The Iser Laz Kiro, the Beis HaMerchatz. Okay? So the that's Tosas and Sota. And that's the raya. The Rama in Yoredeya, Reishain Vav Yud Gimel, which I think I brought here. Says that you should be nizar for this, Reish. What? No, no, no. What's it supposed to say for Torah? So he says, cliche kosoval of shame, kotitz mokom hashem begonzo. Right? This is to be careful about mechikas hashem. But also lichtov shame lechatchila, shelo besefer, the yuchalov of the debizoyon, lechain disarm shelo lichtov shame beigeres. This is where it comes in. Vyesh nizharim afilu bemilas shalom, shelo loigmar ksivaso. This is the Maril b'shem Atashbetz. But it's really based on this Tosis in Sota. The Shach, here in the Nekudas HaKesa, you know, discusses whether or not you really should worry about this, because, you know, should you write Shalom in a letter if you don't want it to be thrown out or not? So here, 1 second, I think I find it here. Afilu mila shalom, v'rov ha'olam ein nizharim bazeh, kein kasu b'tshuvas harash. That's the tshuvas harash I'm talking about. Klal gimel simin tezvav, who holds that it's mutter. The rush in the tshuva says that the iser to mention it in a beis hamerchatz does not prove that it's chepta shel shem legabe mechika. It just means that it's a like a strong reference to the Rabbanu Shalom, right? There's a double assumption, basically, in the rush.
It's like the rabbit.
The what?
The rabbit says usher is the rabbit.
Yeah, something like that. In other words, so the assumption is that Shalom is not a shame, and therefore it's not. There's no Isser Mechika. And that the Isser L'Hazker Beis HaMerchatz applies to things that are strongly associated, you know, with the Rabbanu Shalom, even if they're not shemos. So again, the Shach dismisses this based on the Rush, and then he expands on it in the Kudas HaKesef. That's this, you know, the different Ha'aros of the Shach. Amnam betosis perakama de sota muchach da aser v'isa sham lehedja. Gedolamizeh, right? The shalom, who mishemos she'ena limchakim. V'hadelo manilei, v'hadizayin shemos she'ena limchakim, mishem tana v'shir. V'ra'isi yeshirotzen lefarish datosis kasvu kein lahamakshe. Avalola maskana. Avalmayin heita v'tosis yira, delesa. Ach mikabokam tzarachiyun ledina, dibidivre sharkala poskim, lamash machen de shalom yehi, mishemos she'ena limchakim. Right? The lo, this is the comments of Shach. There's a whole, the Piskei Tshuva has a whole discussion about this as well. So the again, the Ramban discussion about Shlomo, Misha Shalom Shalom. You could be mechalik between Shlomo and Shalom, by the way, in either direction, right? On the one hand, and of course, it's we talked about the other day, right? The you know, how strongly associated is Shalom with Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Shlomo is more, Misha Shalom Shalo is more of a name, right? On the other hand, Shalom, you know, is the reason why the name Shlomo is significant. So which is more, it's not clear that the Bali Tosis and Sota, right, or or the Rabbah, you know, in his, Yesh Nizharim, would say the same thing about Shlomo. And it's not clear that the Ramban in, here in Shavuos would say about Shalom what was said about Shlomo. So I think that we have to be a little bit careful about our conclusion regarding that. But it is certainly the parallel, and the Ran and other Rishonim here, you know, as we know, were cholek. But you have to look up that Rush, Gimel Beis, and the other Rishonim. Yeah.
Going back to Rambam for a second.
Yeah.
Even if you want to think that Rambam is Davka for Shmor Acham and Shmor Chanim.
That,
I mean, even if you want to think it's he's being like specific that you need that, like the Alachamishna says, Rachum Mishnah is still pretty clear that the only reason why you need to be specific is because otherwise the Khanan and Rachum is just referring to a person.
Yeah, I'm saying the Lechem Mishnah raises the question,
right.
And he doesn't come to the conclusion that I come to. 100%. And therefore you don't have to. I'm just saying that if you like his question more than you like his answer, then...
But then the Lechem Mishnah at least doesn't get into a stero with the Rambam's.
The what?
At least the Lechem Mishnah doesn't get into a stero.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. 100%. So I think... Right. No, I think you're right about that. It becomes an open, I think, you know, whichever you think is a better resolution of the total Rambam.
Okay. I guess the mission also in the Yad Beis Gimel, which is also in the
Zosmadai,
that if you said,
all right, so it'll be in the one we just talked about.
In
Yad Beis Gimel. Yeah. Do you have a language there, Kesem Mishnah?
Yeah.
I don't remember that exactly. So they're assuming that it's all. I'm also adding, again, admittedly, to the mix, the fact that I think that the Rambam holds that Shvua requires shame, and that possibly, you know, that comes from the connection either to the Psukim, which are Shema Mefurash, or Sota, based on the Gemara, and that Rabbi Chanina, you know, even if you reject Rabbi Chanina, you don't reject, you know, this connection vis-a-vis, let's say, the kinui part, which upgrades kinui from a shevach to a shame, even if it's a contextual shame. I admit that that is also influencing, you know, my, I guess, preferred reading for base. That's because I'm saying that once kinui is a kind of a shame, so then the fact that it has to meet certain objective criteria in terms of what establishes its divinity as opposed to simply just being an unequivocal reference, I think becomes more appealing. However, again, let me make it clear. I don't think it's impossible that these are Habatalia in either direction. I think it's possible to say that even if Kinui is a kind of a shame, as long as you've, you know, unequivocally referenced a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that mightn't create a shame. That's very possible. And then you wouldn't have a problem with any of this. Then Misha Bara Shemayim Ba'aretz would be also fine, even if you didn't take the other parts of Bara Shemayim Ba'aretz like I was saying them. And I think also in the other direction. In other words, even if you do require something that is more like, you know, intrinsic and you have standards for Kinuyin beyond being explicit, I don't think that necessarily means that Kinui is a Chetzah Shel Shame. I still think it might be that the need for a more specific reference is ma'akev in these contexts. But I just think it's a natural to put the two together. And once you do that, then, you know, maybe what the Rambam is saying in Perek Yud-Beis about Shemayim Ba'aretz is kind of the other thing I was addressing, which was, yeah, I mean, if you were to, you know, formulate Shemayim Ba'aretz in a way that made it clear that you weren't just discussing, you know, the narrowly the chetz of Shemayim Ba'aretz, but like the implications of what it is, scope-wise and integration-wise and symbolically wise, what Shemayim Ba'aretz is, that would work because that would be a kinui. You know, that's also possible to explain to the base. But I agree. It's an open question. Yeah, I'm happy for there being some akronim who suggest it explicitly, even though, again, you're telling me that when it comes to Yud Beis, he kind of, you know, forgets that he said that or chooses to ignore that he said that. But either way, I think it's the Rambam is reading the Gemara differently for some reason. Yeah.
We don't hold the Gedev Shabbat, so how do you even the Kino at all?
Why should you need anything? That's what the Ram is asking. Right?
What is this for? So what is this for?
No. So what I'm saying is, I'm also invoking the Aruch HaShulchan, and that is that everybody agrees that we do connect, you know, Kol and Olah. We do connect a little bit, in the sense that you need a shame. We just think that Kinuyim are shemos. Having said that, I think it helps us enormously, you know, if we think that the standard for Kinuyim isn't just unequivocal reference, but is something more intrinsically divine, you know. As a quality. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. That's why I brought it in. Right? Yeah.
The Lechem Mishnah says something very similar to the Aruch HaShulchan to explain the Ravid.
Oh, okay.
But he says it not because of the Gezer Shav itself, but because of the next part of the Gemara. They ask
go ahead. What's he saying?
Even
regarding the shame part.
Right.
Okay, so meaning in the situation of the Gemara where everybody agrees that Allah can substitute for Shua, that we certainly learn from Sota.
We don't go as far as the same as Yuchad, but
we don't say it has to be whatever, so then, okay, great. But that's, again, the same idea that if there was no... Again, in the end of the day, you could still say, oh, so you need a reference. Okay, but I'm just saying it works better, that idea, if there's some sort of chetz shel shame aspect as well. But yeah.
How would the Yuchad categorize that?
What do you mean?
Would he say the kinoim?
Rambam
has a kinoim, but
the Yosef,
they can't be kinoim because they're not doing shvachos. So
why aren't they
mishvachos?
I'm not sure what you're asking. What case are you speaking of specifically? I mean, what happened if a non-Jew said chanan v'rachum?
I'm saying the Rambam says that the names for God that are used by the non-Jews are kinoim. Doesn't he say that?
I mean translations?
Yeah.
So how
does the Nemuka Yosef categorize that?
What would the Nemuka Yosef say about that?
Isn't he stuck there? Because he's on Shvachot. So
I mean God.
Yeah.
Why isn't that it has very high meaning? It has a
so you would categorize that as
Kinoi? Why wouldn't he? Again, I don't think you have to say that all translations are kinui. Although the Rambam does. We'll get to this in a few places he says it. Including here in Shul, it sounds like he says it. But I don't see why anybody should have a problem with it. I mean, it is Shabbat. Why isn't it Shabbat?
The name God?
Yeah.
Sounds like the name.
I mean, it's an arbitrary, jungle of. No, I mean, it's what the language projects as the highest power or the greatest source of meaning and transcendence. Maybe good, depending on your culture. Right? As long as it has that connotation, it's Shevach. Again, unless you live in a perverse society, the word God has a. Inherently spiritual, powerful meaning, doesn't it? I mean, it's conventional usage, but all language. We think that Hebrew has a certain intrinsic value, a certain divine imprimatur, right? But other languages are conventional, so it's based on how. What meaning is assigned to, but why isn't that assigned accepted meaning, assuming that it is that, like it's very universal, why wouldn't that be an expression of Shabbat? I think it would be. I don't see why not. Okay, yeah. Well, it's hard to move in this time. I thought we'd be like, boom, 2 days and we're in Shua Sabikand on it. Yeah. Say it again?
We're saying that the Rambam thinks that you need Shem Hashem or Kinoi for to be by the Shua.
Yeah.
For it to be a Shua. So what does he mean in Halacha Dala then when he says without Shem or Kinoi it's still an Isser?
Oh, okay. Now that's what the Ran says. A wiser even an Isser. Okay, well, we'll get to that. I mean, because...
I'm saying if a Shua means something with Shem or Kinoi, so what does it mean?
Isn't that what the Ran asked?
Okay, could be.
I'm saying the Ran Alatar said, I don't get it if Shem Hashem is a prerequisite for the Haggadah, let's say, not just for... So, and first of all, I'm not sure it's such a strong question to begin with. I mean, whatever we're saying about what Shem Hashem adds, right, to the mix, we were talking about before, like the three things I said the other day and the additional things that we were adding to it, today. In theory... it doesn't have to be part of the Haggadah, it could be part of the Mechayev, the Malkus, the Korban, the Iser, this Iser, not that Iser, number one. I mean, it's not inconceivable The Ran does say, the Ran here, because he formulates the, you know, it's so strongly, which is so ironic, I guess, you know, maybe he's anticipating what he really believes, which he presents here as Acherim Omrim, but which in, and then he says, oh, by the way, look what I wrote in the Darim, and in the Darim he makes it clear that that's really what he believes, right? Which is that you don't need, you know, Shem Hashem. So maybe that's, you know, part of the psychological presentation. But the truth is that the presentation is like, you know, it's a bit of a, it's weighted, you know, to begin with. Right? He starts off by saying, let's read the language again, that obviously what Rashi holds, and then he ends up saying the same thing for the Rambam, is that the Shem Hashem, based on the Psukim, are part of the Hagdara, right? Second. Pirush Rashi. The Tama the Milsim Mishum the Ikar Shvua Kiksiva B'Shem Ksiv Ki the Siv Lo Tishvu B'Shmi La Shaker Inam Eli Sisa Shem Hashem Alakecha La Shav. Right? Eladra Banan Savrit Hu Adin Nami Lekinui Ki the Ksiv V'Chilalta Shem Alakecha, which is Tamu a little bit anyway. I would have thought that V'Chilalta Shem Hashem Alakecha would be Dafke, you have a Chavtza Shal Shem, not if you have a Kinui. Right? But unless you think Kinui also is a shame. Right, by the way. Okay. Of a below shame, a below kinui, ain lanu lamalkus velo karban, miu isura mia ika, afila below shame, a below kinui. Why? How do you know that? The answer is based on lab lab and hain hain, which don't sound like they're connected with a shmua, and with a shame, and it sounds like those are asur. Vahi vaday below askar shame. I'm not sure why he knows that. The ibiz ker shame lemeli lab lab. Elavadai shehiskir shvua ol ashon acher shumog b'shvua lo boi lo shem v'lo kinui avamalkus l'karban b'inon shem o kinui v'zeu das Rambam. He says v'tamani kivin dekroi b'shvuas b'shem o b'kinui mishlamoi b'lo shem v'lo kinui afilu isura minale. Is that what you're asking? Yeah?
Yeah, I guess so.
You mean to guess? Isn't that what you were asking?
Yeah, is it obvious that there is an Isser?
So he's saying that he thinks that there's an Isser because of the sugi of Lav, Lav, and Hain, Hain.
Right.
Which he thinks is Muchach. We'll discuss it when we get to it. I don't think you have to say that. First it's Muchach that that's not B'Shem or B'Kidu.
Pashas, you don't understand. If you need a shame, then there would be no Isser without a shame.
So he's saying if you need a shame, there should be no Isser without a shame. Then he answers the Efshar. Shemidivre Kabbalah Lamanu, the Orer Bo Shvua, we learn out from Vayoel Shaul Es Ha'am, Oraisha Shayocha Lechem Ad Erev, Afavishu Amar Lo Shem Velo Kinui. I mean, he has to go fishing. He has to find Divre Kabbalah. There's this big debate about this Divre Kabbalah idea that the Ran suggests. Right? Some Rishonim, some of the Mefarshim think that it is, you know, Divre Kabbalah means Durabanan. That it's only Nisa Drabanan. Okay? And the Mabit in Kiryat Sefer weighs in, I think it's Mabit in Kiryat Sefer, if I remember correctly, and says that it is, it doesn't mean Drabanan. He means that it's not Mefurish Bakra. So it's like that whole amorphous category that we've talked about so many other times, you know, where like, you know, Chatzi Shir, or, you know, you know, Losasur, you know, kind of things, you know, where there's this whole kind of in between category of, you know, things that are not Mefurish Bakra, you know, but that are Dorais. Okay. Again, maybe some of the Rambam's Divrei Sofrims, you know, things of that sort. So if you think the whole thing is Rabbanan, which I think is what the Minchas Chinuch and others thought. They say, you know, there'll be nafkamina, right? Let's say you have a clash between like two shvuas. You take two, one shvua b'shem and one shvua shalom b'shem. Like they won't neutralize each other because one's daraisa and one's drabana. Okay. If it's only, you know, that both are daraisa, it's only a question of, you know, malchus and whatever. You know, then the question of nishba l'kayim is a mitzvah, Nishbalabatel, a submitzvah comes into four. So there's a big debate about this. Personally, I'm not sure that you have to come to this conclusion that there is an Isar, and even if there is, it doesn't trouble me so much. I mean, why can't there be different dimensions? There's Sheker, under, you know, in a formal way. I mean, put it this way, if the Ran and the Ramban could believe that Lahalacha, you don't need Shem Hashem or Kinui, and you can be Mechayiv, you know, fully, you know, why can't it be that the, you know, that the Rambam, and let me say that, and if the Raibid can believe that, you know, only with Shem Hashem, right, or a Kinui, you know, will there be Malkus, right, and, or that there's a difference between Shuas HaPikad and Shuas Eidos and other Shavuos, so why can't the Rambam and Rashi, even if it is Mukrach, why can't they say that there's an Iser, but in order to qualify, I mean, there are different levels, there are different dimensions. There's formal language. Take what we said before. To determine that you're speaking not conversationally and casually, but, you know, in a more formal way, and therefore you should be held, you know, precisely to what, you know, to what you're saying, or, and, to invoke the institutions fully of Nedarim and Shavuos, right, or to add the necessary dimension of Chilul Shem Hashem itself, right? Or the other things we're talking about, to make it more clear and equivocal, this is also Ben Adam Lamakko, all the things that we said before, not to be cynical in using Rabbonu Sholem in order to lie or in order to do Averos or you know, for that you need Shem Hashem. And that maybe is Koveya for Korban and Malkus and Iser and Bal Yach, Lo Yachel, and so on. But to be considered just formal language, you know, not casual language, that we really hold you to your word, and that, you know, that violating your word, it constitutes an Iser, that we can do with less. So I'm not so troubled by it. But I just think the Ran was basically, you know, I think, you know, he's not separating himself from the conclusion that he's going to, you know, subtly project here and explicitly project in the Darim, and he's referring here already to what he wrote in the Darim. So he's basically saying, I don't understand, I think it should be all or nothing. Right? Either you think it's part of the Haggadah, and without it there's no Shavuah at all. Right? Or you shouldn't need it at all. But I don't see why it has to be. It's not so for the Ravid, it's not so for both parts of the Ravid, right? But the Malkus and the Pikadon Eidos parts. And I don't think it has to be so for other Rishonim either. Yeah?
The
Ran
suggests in
Lefer
doesn't work for the Ran. The Ran said the Torah should be valid, that Amar Allah or Arar Shavuot will ask your shame, looking at the Asa Sabbatim, but you don't get Malkus. Not learning from different Kabbalah, that Arar Shavuot.
Now he's saying this for Rashi. He, one second. He says Zodasa Rambam.
I'm saying it for Rambam.
What?
Sounds like
you're saying, okay, and you want to say can't be because
the Ram says Lashon Bar and Yishim Hashem.
Right, but even, how do you know that that's true for even for Iser? He's saying it even for Iser, not for Malkus. Which Ram are you talking about? Which Ram are you quoting?
I'm saying for the Iser.
Yeah. Which Ram are you quoting right now? Base Vav? Base. Are you quoting base?
Never mind.
That's, he's just saying those are required for the full chiyu. And by the way, in Perek Tes, the Rambam repeats it. I'm going to have to stop here. And, I'm sorry, we didn't get where I wanted to get today. But just one second. In Perek Tes, the Rambam repeats, right, that you require. Just a second. What is the language of the Rambam in Perek Tes? Second. I think. Right. Right. Also, in Perek Tes, the Rambam has this requirement. Oh, Yes, okay. Everybody have it?
Yudal.
What is it?
Yudal.
Yudal. Echad ha-mashbiya edav b'shvua o sh'omer mitzav ani aleichem b'shvua o sarcham ani b'shvua harei l'chayavim v'hu she'ashbiyim b'shem o b'kinu v'nakinuim k'mo sh'miyardo. But in terms of Isur, right, when there's no chiyuv, no karban, that's not as clear. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here. Let's try to finish this on Sunday. Sunday I want to go through the lists of Nimchakim, and I want to talk about a little more about the requirement of Shem Hashem and Kinui according to the various Rishonim. We've touched on a lot of it already. I want to speak more about the prefixes and suffixes. Yossi brought to my attention that the Ritva has an interesting lashon, so try to look at that on the suffixes, or the differences between prefixes and suffixes, and also the Rambam and the Ravid. What does the Ravid add to the Rambam? Did he just have a different girsa of the Rambam? And the Kesef Mishnah discussion about that, and then we'll try to finish up Shem Hashem that on Sunday, and also then Chalavat Hashemayin, also look at the Ramban and the Ran and the Rush. Tosas, try to finish up as much as we can.